I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, true crime besties. Welcome back to an all new episode of Serialistly. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to an all new episode of Serialistly with me, Annie Elise. And today's Thursday, which you know what that means, headline highlights. There is a lot we need to talk about too. New cases, some updates in some cases I'm going to talk to you a little bit too, just very briefly about Nancy Guthrie, some updates in that case as well. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the updates with Epstein and some things with that as well. But before we get into all of that, let me welcome back Amy Hiller.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome back. So I'm actually really, hold on. I have two things.
Whenever you take a deep breath, I know a question coming.
Not a question.
Okay.
A statement.
Okay.
Over the weekend, I did something very mature and grown up. And I have to tell you, I'm kind of offended that you haven't noticed it by now.
Wait. Can I look at you and tell? Something mature?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I'm upset. What is it?
You don't even know me.
Wait, what? I want to guess something, but your nails?
Look how short they are.
Oh, okay. You're going to laugh. I noticed it. What video?
Why didn't you say anything?
I thought maybe it was the angle. You sent a video over the weekend. I think it was in a group chat and it had you like showing something. You were holding something with your nail. And I was like, whose hand is in that photo?
Because
I
didn't notice. So chubby and small.
No, honestly, like your thumbnail kind of looked like rounded and like small and weird. Okay. No offense. Sorry, this went really negative.
I thought I was doing a grown up thing and now I need to put the long nails back on.
Okay. I'm dying.
No, okay.
What was the reason for this sudden change?
Well, it wasn't out of desire.
Okay.
I was blow drying my hair on Sunday, and I have one of those, I think you know, like the round brush blow dryer, and my nail got caught in the vent, and it snapped off.
You had a reality check.
A little bit. Not so much reality check as because I brought Emmy with me to the nail salon, I didn't have enough chime to get a new tip on. So I said, oh, we can just make them all as short as this one broke off to. And even the lady was like, are you sure? Like, are you sure?
Okay.
Yeah, she's all, it's going to take a while for them to get long again. Like, are you sure you want to do this? I was like, yeah, it'll be fine. And then she did it. And I thought, oh, this is Annie in her mature era. She doesn't have the big claws anymore.
You feel naked?
Well, I didn't until you said my hands look short and chubby. So now I'm rethinking everything.
Well, I keep seeing all these, this movement of let's go back to natural nails, which to be honest would be a huge relief because think of the money we could save, the time, and probably it's better for our nail health. But I just can't even imagine it because we're like of the old school era. Like since seventh grade, I've had these puppies.
It's very California.
It
because
is.
When I lived in New York, nobody had fake nails. You were hard pressed to find a salon that did acrylic.
No, I had to go in after work when no one else was there. And they would literally be like, you're the only one in here because it's toxic chemicals.
No, I know. Which I had no nails during COVID because everything was shut down, obviously. But
I went to the underground places where it's like tap twice and we'll open the basement door. And like, I
was really excited.
I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you because you obviously don't care what your hands look like.
Okay.
Speaking of which, someone made a comment that my giant hand last week, they couldn't stop looking away. So I'll keep my hands.
I have small hands and you have giant hands. And I didn't do the chrome this time. I did something new. She talked me into the cat eye.
It's cute. I love
it. Okay. That was not convinced. People are like, Annie, it's been fucking 3 minutes and you're talking about your nails. Could you be any more shallow?
Let's just do the influencer thing.
Yeah. Guys, so we're going to talk about headline highlights today. Okay. Last thing. So want to start off with some exciting news. I've mentioned it before. We're obviously going back to CrimeCon this year. Going back
Very
to
excited.
Back to CrimeCon, CrimeCon.
Wow.
You don't like it? Okay.
I'm not joining in on that.
So yes, CrimeCon this year is kind of close to our neck of the woods in comparison to where it's been in years past. It is in Vegas, more specifically Caesar's Palace. And it actually is over a really great weekend. It's May 29th to May 31st, which the weather is going to be like hot, but elite. Lots of pool parties. I need to see if like at Wet Republic Chainsmokers are playing because you know I'm going to be all up in there. Like,
I should. Can we please pull the photo from?
Absolutely not. The wheelchair?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Sometimes I go a little too hard in Vegas. That was years ago, pre-kids. So it's May 29th through the 31st at Caesar's Palace in Vegas. I will be there all weekend. Amy will be there all weekend. Our team will be there all weekend. And it's just going to be a really great weekend. How many times can you say weekend in one sentence? But no, it really is. It's a great experience. I know a lot of people are kind of on the fence about what CrimeCon is, what it means, what goes on there. And it's a place where a lot of people go, not only podcasters and YouTubers, but big media companies such as News Nation, Dateline, Nancy Grace, and a lot of victims' families and a lot of survivors go to CrimeCon as well. And they join and partner up and speak on panels. They try to bring awareness, educate on different things. The Petito family goes every year. JonBenet Ramsey's dad goes every year. Chris Hansen is usually there. So it's just a really powerful weekend. And it's a lot of people with the same shared mentality and goal, I guess, of just, you know, it's kind of a vulnerable weekend. I don't know how you would describe it. It's really powerful.
And this will be our third year. I felt like last year every year you just learn more and more and you're meeting more people. And I just left last year with this overwhelming feeling of just a reminder of what you do and what we do here, because you meet so many people that you don't even realize how the work impacts them mm-hmm. on a personal level and how many people are sharing that same experience and how it's nice to have such a strong sense of community.
Totally. Yeah. Like families coming up to the booth and being like, I heard your mm-hmm. coverage of XYZ case. Thank you so much. And I don't know. It's a great weekend. So my point is, it's a fantastic weekend in Vegas, and we are giving away a full weekend pass. Now, here is how you can enter this giveaway if you want to go. In today's episode of Headline Highlights, I have hidden 5 Vegas-related phrases throughout the episode. So listen closely, jot them down when you think you hear one, and then once you've caught all 5, if you go to the show notes or the description of this episode, there's a link to a form. Enter in your information, enter in those words to unlock your entry, and then boom. So it's kind of like a little scavenger hunt. And we will select one winner who will get the free weekend pass. We also may do more giveaways in the future. But entries close on March 3rd at 11:59 p.m. Pacific time, and then the winner will be selected and announced next Thursday in that episode of Headline Highlights in the show notes. Not in the actual episode itself, but written in the description. So, good luck. I hope to see you guys all there. Come by the booth, and it'll be a great weekend. So, with that, all of that admin out of the way, let's get into this first case. I know we were talking a little bit about this yesterday, and spoiler alert, I have a deep dive coming, but I want to talk about this whole former American Idol contestant murderer, because this case has been everywhere recently. And honestly, it's been a wild one from the very start. At first, it sounded like a home invasion, burglary gone wrong. But then within just a few days, investigators were kind of like, actually, hold up. That's not really the case here. This isn't a home invasion gone wrong. That's not what happened here. So let me rewind a little bit and tell you everything that transpired to where we are now. So around 2:30 a.m. on Monday, February 16th, police responded to a 911 call at a home in Tip City, Ohio. The caller, Caleb Flynn, said that there was a burglary at his home that he shared with his wife and his kids, and that his wife, Ashley Flynn, had been shot. Now, in this 911 call, Caleb sounds completely frantic, just terrified. He said he's not sure if the person who did this is still in the house, and just completely panicked. Take a listen.
Oh my God.
Miami County 911.
Somebody broke into my home. Somebody broke into my home and shot my wife.
Are they still in there?
I don't know.
Okay, what's the address?
Kid City, Ohio. Please hurry. Please hurry.
What are you seeing?
My wife is. She got two shots to her head. There's blood everywhere. Oh my God.
Ma'am, I need you to take a deep breath, okay? Do you still see anybody in the house?
No, the door to the garage was wide open. Please hurry, please. Oh my God. My daughters are here.
Where is she at?
She's in the bed.
Are you with her?
Yeah, I am in the room. I'm looking at her. Yes, please.
Okay, do you guys have the door locked?
We have the doors to the garage locked, but into the house, yes. Please. Oh my God.
Where is that room out in the house? My partner's getting them dispatched, okay? But I need you to answer my questions so I can get you help as fast as I can, okay?
What questions?
Where are you guys at in the house?
I'm in the bedroom with her right now.
Okay.
My daughter's in their room.
So you're not, you are not with the children?
I was with the children when it happened.
Okay, but you're not with them now?
No, they're in their room. They're not even awake. Oh my God. Sir, please.
Okay. They are heading that way, okay? I need you to take a deep breath for me. Are you hearing anything?
No, I've rubbed her leg and said her name. She's not answering.
Okay, your daughter's not answering you?
I'm sorry, no. Hold on, I'm putting on a shirt. What'd you say?
Your daughter's not answering you?
No, they're across the room.
Okay.
In their room.
Okay, are you hearing any kind of noise inside the house?
No, her face is white as a ghost. Please, Henry.
Okay, whose face?
My wife's face.
Your wife's face?
The one who was shot.
She was what?
Shot, I said.
Okay, where was she shot at?
In the head. I hope there's blood everywhere.
Okay, is she breathing?
I don't think so. Ashley, baby, please. Oh my God, no, she's not.
Okay, she's not responding to you?
No. Oh my God.
Okay, do you see anybody in the house now?
No, it's black and the doors are locked. The door leading to the garage door was wide open when I ran in there.
Okay, do you see any kind of vehicles?
No. Wait, no, the door, there's a side door and a garage door that's open by the, oh my God.
Okay, I need you to just take a deep breath for me, okay? They're getting to you as quick as they can. Is that door still open?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
What do I do?
Is she breathing at all?
I don't think so. There's two shots to
okay.
Okay.
If you are comfortable, I want you to go and find a cloth, and I want you to put a cloth on that gunshot wound, okay?
Like a towel?
Yes, like a towel, but do not apply direct pressure to it. Just put it on that blood wound, okay?
Okay.
So the police arrived within minutes, and unfortunately, Ashley was found deceased inside the home. And as I said, at first, this completely looked like a burglary gone wrong. However, as the investigators started to dig a little bit deeper, they realized that things were just not adding up. And then that's when, like, the tone of this entire thing really started to shift, because it started to look less like a break-in that turned deadly and more like something had intentionally happened and was staged afterward. So while Caleb seemed to double down on the burglary narrative, police were now kind of saying, well, no, that's not really what's going on here. Now, for starters, there were absolutely no signs of forced entry in the home. However, in that 911 call, Caleb claimed that somebody, quote, broke in, yet all of the doors were locked except the door to the garage, which was wide open. Now, the next inconsistency, it started to actually come out from public speculation, not necessarily through the investigation itself, but it really does seem strange when you look at it. So if you remember that 911 call, it was made around 2:30 in the morning. However, Caleb claimed to be with his kids, which, look, as a parent, I know things happen in the middle of the night. Kids get sick. They'll wake up with, you know, a bad dream. They want water, whatever the situation is. But for him to be awake and with his kids, coincidentally, at the exact moment and the right exact time when somebody broke into the home and shot his wife, Ashley, it seems a little bit more than a coincidence to me. Now, the last thing that people were pointing out, and some argue is the biggest thing that changed the way that this case is being looked at, was that there were two spent shell casings right next to the bed where Ashley had been shot. And that on its own by itself might seem normal at first. Maybe the intruders were in a hurry to get out of there. They didn't pick up the casings when they left. Could happen for sure. Except the shell casings being that close to the bed indicated that Ashley had likely been shot at point-blank range. And some reports say that these shell casings matched a 9mm handgun. Now, that also would not be weird on the surface. However, guess who owned a 9mm handgun that just so happened to have that gun missing at the time that this all went down? Her husband, Caleb. So if that's true, then he really gambled on the idea that nobody would connect those dots. Caleb usually kept the gun in a center console of his truck, but that center console was found open that day, and there was no gun inside. So on the evening of Thursday, February 19th, Caleb was arrested. He was charged with murder, two counts of felonious assault, and two counts of tampering with evidence. Now, as soon as the news broke regarding this case, people immediately recognized Caleb. They were like, wait, this guy is a former American Idol contestant. I totally know his face. I totally know him. I know his name. And from there, as you can imagine, I mean, the internet went wild and all sorts of clips started circulating. Lots of old footage has since resurfaced from season 12, which was back in 2013. That was the season that Caleb appeared in. And in this footage, he's talking about his wife, Ashley, talking about how my wife is my whole world, which I think that piece of it is also what's making this really hit hard for people, because there's these visual aids attached to it where he's talking about how in love with Ashley he is, what an amazing wife she is, and then, you know, it's something to just reference back to when now you know what actually has happened to her. But I want you to take a listen.
My name is Caleb Flynn. I'm from Tip City, Ohio. I auditioned because, I'm sure everybody says it, but music is all I know. It's what I live to do, and I love to sing, so that's why I auditioned. Maybe my wife kind of nudged me a little bit too. The person that inspires me to be informer, I guess, would say the Lord. I'm a music pastor, and so that's my job every week, is to go up there and to sing and to connect what I do on stage to the congregation. So first and foremost, obviously, is the Lord. Thing that makes me unique, you know, I absolutely love the Lord. I love my wife more than anything. She is very, very pretty. Just, oof, I love her. But you know, I'm just a normal person who absolutely loves to sing more than anything in the world. And I think I have a different sound in my voice. I have something to offer.
By Friday, February 20th, Caleb appeared in court over video and he pleaded not guilty. He also made a statement when it came time for the judge to order the bond, which I kind of have to say, I feel like we haven't really seen that very often lately, but here's how that went.
Mr. Flynn, we're going to set your case for a preliminary hearing for next week on February 26th at 1 p.m. You do have the right to have an attorney represent you. If you cannot afford one, you can apply to the public defender's office and they'll determine if you're eligible for a court-appointed attorney. You understand all of that?
Yes, sir.
Is there anything you'd like to say to the court with regards to my bond in this case?
I'm so sorry you cut out there.
Is there anything you'd like to tell the court with respect to bond in this case?
I don't really understand that. So
okay,
no,
So the court has to establish a bond, sir, to ensure that your appearance, okay? So the court will establish a bond, and you have the right to tell me, hey, I'm not a flight risk, I am a flight risk, or anything of that nature. Is there anything you would want to tell me about that?
Sir, I just want to take care of my daughters. I'm not at risk.
I understand. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Well, the court is going to order a $2 million blanket bond in this case, covering all of your charges. Should you post bond in this case, the court will order that you be on pretrial services electronically monitored house arrest. Furthermore, the court will order that you will have no contact whatsoever, directly or indirectly through a third party, with you are not permitted to speak to them in any way, shape, or form. That includes electronic communications. You are not allowed to communicate through family members whatsoever. Do you understand all of that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. We're adjourned. Thank you, sir.
Now, I personally think that that was really interesting because he's crying in court. He's asking for this low or no bond, saying that he's not a risk, that he wants to be with his daughters. Yet we do know that the judge made this no contact order, which I'm assuming it was for the kids, but there was some redactions made, so we're not entirely sure. But that coupled with the 911 call too, in which to me he was so descriptive over the timeline of events, where he was, where the kids were, all these things, it almost felt rehearsed. I don't know. That's just my opinion. So Caleb's defense attorney is pushing back pretty hard on the way that the case has been handled so far, saying that it's moving too fast and that the judgments about Caleb have been made far too quickly. Well, on the other side, the public, of course, has taken off running with all sorts of speculation, all sorts of rumors. There has been a lot of talk about a possible affair that Caleb was having with someone who attends his church, where he's the church leader. This woman is allegedly 23 years old, and some rumors report that she may actually even be pregnant. And I'm going to get into more of that in just a moment. But some people also say that there are leaked court documents. However, because nothing official has been released, we are going to take that piece of information with a grain of salt. But according to the internet, those files allegedly show hundreds of text messages between Caleb and an unnamed woman, assumed to be this 23-year-old who goes to his church. And in one text in particular, it was one that Caleb allegedly sent at 12:42 a.m. to this woman, and he said, quote, "It's almost done." And that was on the day and just over 1 hour before that 911 call was made saying that his wife had been shot. So, I mean, if those text messages are real, not only does it point to a potential motive if he was in fact having an affair with this woman, but also premeditation. I mean, saying something is almost done before it happens obviously is indicative of planning. Now, in the midst of all of this, the investigation, the speculation, the shock of the arrest, Ashley's family has put out a statement expressing their grief and their love for Ashley. And they also have been very vocal about their confidence in the investigators who are handling the case. They said, "Our hearts are shattered. Ashley brought endless light to our world, and we are trying to navigate this immense loss. Our family believes this arrest was made carefully and not without serious consideration. After speaking with both local police and federal authorities, we trust the proper steps were taken and that the process is being handled appropriately. We kindly ask for privacy as we work through this complex situation. We are clinging to our faith, just as Ashley did each and every day." So Caleb is actually expected back in court today, so I'm going to keep an eye out and see how that goes. But we are going to do a deep dive into this, because I know I alluded a little bit to the affair. We have done some more research into that. There is some cringeworthy clips out there, too, of the two of them singing together in church and, like, some weird stuff. So a deep dive on this will be coming as we're uncovering more. So just make sure, you know, you're tuning in and you stand by for that. But obviously, doesn't look very good.
No. And I was going to say the footage of them singing together is
big ick.
Cringe.
Big ick. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like, again, why do you
just get a divorce?
Just get a divorce and stop sending text messages.
At what point will criminals realize the text is your nail in your coffin? And I don't want them to.
I mean, good for us.
I know. Yeah, I don't want them to realize that, because you're an idiot and you deserve to go down if you did this. So we'll see.
Ugh.
I know. Okay. I know there's another case, like a Casey Anthony 2.0.
That's I was going to say it's giving Casey Anthony. And obviously, yeah, like, cases like this always make my stomach drop when they involve children.
I know.
It's just so sad. This case is from Enterprise, Alabama, and involves a 2-year-old little girl named Genesis Nova Reed. And she was reported missing in the early morning hours of February 16th. But the whole thing just feels completely off, and you'll see why. According to the police, around 3 a.m. that day, Genesis' mother, Adrienne Reed, called 911 saying she woke up, she couldn't find Genesis anywhere. She told authorities that her daughter's bedroom was empty and that the front door of the apartment was just left wide open. And just like that, a toddler went missing in the middle of the night. Genesis was described as a very small girl with brown eyes and black hair, and she was reportedly last seen by her mother wearing Minnie Mouse pajamas. So with this information, law enforcement immediately launched a massive search involving local law enforcement, state agencies, and even FBI and the U.S. Marshals. And at first, it sounded like a terrifying, maybe the door left open, toddler wandered off, like we've heard, unfortunately, other times before. But almost right away, the investigators noticed that there were some pieces of the story that Adrienne was telling them that just didn't really make any sense. And while police haven't released this bullet point list of exactly what didn't add up in her story, they made it clear that as soon as they started interviewing Adrienne and talking to the neighbors, that the story just wasn't matching all of the evidence that they were finding. Multiple people in the apartment complex told investigators that they actually hadn't seen Genesis in weeks. Some even saying that the last time they saw her was around Christmas, which is just about 2 months before the police were called. And just 2 days later, on February 18th, after conducting multiple interviews, police were confident enough in all of these contradictions to actually make that arrest and arrested Adrienne on the charges of false reporting. So in other words, this wasn't random anymore. This obviously seemed like something that was pointing towards Adrienne and was enough to make them arrest her. In fact, the Coffee County District Attorney publicly said that Adrienne Reed was the only suspect, and they believe that she's the only person to know where Genesis is. So Adrienne's bond was set at $1 million cash, and she was deemed a flight risk and even given bond conditions that in case she was in fact able to post that bond, she had these extra measures that would be taken, including GPS monitoring, drug screenings, and daily check-ins with the Enterprise PD. She would also be required to stay in Coffee County unless granted some extenuating circumstance, which at this point I doubt would ever happen. And also, this isn't the first time that Adrienne was arrested. Get this, which this was crazy when I read this. Back in 2017, Adrienne was charged with felony assault for attacking her own mother. Her own mother. Reports say that Adrienne allegedly used a sharp instrument to cut her mother multiple times. And then when police arrived, they found the victim with multiple cuts, including one that was even 5 inches long. So this person attacked their mother. We obviously don't know why, but this was a previous arrest back in 2017. And at that point, Adrienne's mother was taken to the hospital and did eventually recover from her injuries. But even though Adrienne was initially charged with a felony, she pled guilty and ended up walking away with only a misdemeanor charge. A judge ended up suspending her 12-month sentence and ordered her to serve 2 years of unsupervised probation for that. That's it. So going back to Genesis, after Adrienne's arrest, search efforts got way more intense. Authorities brought in canine units, including cadaver dogs, to search the area and surrounding areas. And even after searching all of the surrounding neighborhoods, so far there's been absolutely no sign of Genesis. However, reports say that there was a burned mattress in a nearby area, that carpet was ripped out of the apartment, and that Genesis's room was cleared out and practically empty, as if no child had ever lived there. Enterprise PD has put out updates almost daily, and each time a new update comes out, they ask for tips. They want to know if anyone might have knowledge of where Genesis's whereabouts may be, if someone had seen her, or any information that might make it possible to bring her home safely. Police have also identified a woman named Mariah that they would like to speak with and believe that she may have more information. And while they clarified she's not currently labeled as a suspect, they do believe that she may have some information that could be relevant to the investigation. So they're hoping to find this person. And just to be clear, As of right now, Adrian Reed has only been formally charged with false reporting. There have been no other charges at the time of this recording, but obviously this has remained active and ongoing since there has been no sightings or additional information thus far. But the language that the officials have been using is obviously making it sound very, very serious. The fact that neighbors haven't seen Genesis in weeks, the fact that investigators quickly identified and publicly called out inconsistencies in Adrian's story, and the fact that the DA stated the mother is the only person known at this time to know where Genesis is, it all points in the direction of the case may go much deeper than a toddler simply wandering away at 3 a.m. one day. The community of Enterprise has held vigils, gathering candles, stuffed animals, and all just saying prayers in hopes to find Genesis and that she's brought home safely. Because a case like this obviously just hits differently. It's a two-year-old, it's a toddler. She counts on adults to care for her, and she's missing, and it's just devastating. So this is an active story. We'll be keeping you updated on any new information that comes up and just praying for her safe return and that her mother gives some answers. And
it's so shady.
When I read, it was like Casey Anthony, which I knew would infuriate you.
Megan Boswell. I don't know if you remember that case.
Yeah.
It's the same thing where it's like people haven't seen her for months. And there's a few things that you had said that stuck out to me. One, I mean, the main one, the fact that her room was pretty much completely empty. When children go missing, people usually preserve their rooms for decades sometimes,
yes,
hopeful for their return so that it's untouched and it's, you know, the exact same way that they left it. Also, the fact that if she were able to post bond, one of the conditions is regular drug testing makes me wonder, why would you slip that in there? Is she on drugs? Is there a history with drugs? Do you think that that could have somehow been some sort of component in this? But yeah, a two-year-old isn't wandering out the front door in the middle of the night, and then you coincidentally empty out her entire room, and nobody has seen her
for
in
weeks.
Months. Yeah.
Well, and that's kind of what I was thinking. I'm like, if you haven't seen someone for weeks, that would give you time to remove the carpet, clean up the scene.
Yeah.
But to think that you're going to pass that off as like, oh, I woke up in
and she was gone. And my two-year-old walked out.
And the two-year-old's gone. And then, yeah. So hopefully even some family members have seen the little girl. I mean, it sounds like no one has, which is – it's so sad. But I also was thinking this prior incident with her mother –
yeah.
Was that like an act of rage to where something similar happened with the daughter? Like, what is this past
history? Or is there
history?
A substance
issue?
But I forget. I think it might have actually been the Megan Boswell case. Was it? I think it was. Maybe it was a different one. You guys let me know in the comments. But one of the things that – or maybe it was Orrin and Orson West, actually. Now with cell phones – you can, every photo is timestamped. So when was the last photo taken?
Mm-hmm.
And what, like, how recent? Because I think it was Orrin and Orson West where it was like there hadn't been photos for over a year. And it's like,
obviously,
hello, I have
sort of
50 a day on my phone from my kids for the dumbest shit ever.
Them taking your phone?
Honestly. So yeah, I mean, I think she hasn't obviously been convicted, but I think the writing is on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's awful. That is so sad. Today's episode is brought to you by Kachava. If you're setting wellness goals this year, whether that's training more consistently, fueling better, or just simplifying your routine, Kachava makes it easier to stay on track. It's an all-in-one nutrition shake that is crafted with high-quality, clean ingredients to support your whole body. And let me just tell you, these shakes taste so, so freaking good. I love the strawberry one. It is my favorite. If you've ever seen the commercial too, my good friend Jess Sims, she actually loves Kachava too, and she does like their TV commercials. It's just a really great shake. So anyway, Kachava helps support all day energy with essential vitamins and minerals. It supports digestion with fiber, probiotics, and enzymes, and it fuels strength and recovery with plant-based protein and electrolytes. It also supports metabolism with B vitamins and minerals, cognitive function with key nutrients for your mind and nervous system, and immunity with vitamin C, zinc, and probiotics. It's designed to be simple. Just blend it and go. You can also add frozen fruit, nut butter, nut milk, or iced coffee to customize it however you like. And there are 6 amazing flavors to choose from. Like I said, strawberry is my favorite, but they have chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry. And if you need inspiration, the Kachava Kitchen offers easy recipes to mix things up. And what really sets it apart is the quality. There's no artificial flavors, no artificial colors or sweeteners. It's non-GMO, no soy, no animal products, no gluten, no preservatives, just clean plant-based nutrition with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and more, all in one shake that actually tastes delicious. And you can try it risk-free with their Love It guarantee. Stick with your wellness goals and go to Kachava.com and use code AE for 15% off. That's Kachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code AE. Today's episode is also brought to you by HelloFresh. We all know nothing hits like home cooking, and HelloFresh makes it easier to do more of it, even on busy weeknights. With over 100 recipes to choose from every week, you can explore cuisines from all around the world. You can discover new favorites, and you can enjoy meals that feel both comforting and elevated. HelloFresh brings everyone together with meals that are simple, satisfying, and thoughtfully portioned. And if you're looking for more specific options, you can also choose from more than 35 high-protein recipes each week, including Mediterranean and GLP-1 friendly options. Now, the quality is really what stands out. I want you to think like sustainably sourced seafood, 100% antibiotic and hormone-free chicken, seasonal produce like pears, apples, and asparagus. I mean, such good stuff. And right now, there are 3 times the seafood options with no upcharge, and even premium options like grass-fed steak ribeyes if you're, you know, looking to impress, or for me, Jeremiah loves a good steak, so it's like, I don't know how to cook a steak to save my life, but with HelloFresh, they give me the portions, the blueprint for how to do it, and I can pretend like Mrs. Doubtfire that I cooked it myself. So it's convenient, flexible, and designed to make dinner feel less stressful and more enjoyable, because when dinner tastes good, nothing hits like home cooking. So go to HelloFresh.com/AE10FM and get 10 free meals plus a free Zwilling knife, which is a $144.99 value on your third box. Offer valid while supplies last. Free meals applied as discount on first box. New subscribers only. Varies by plan. All right, so now we're going to get into the Epstein of it all, okay? Not all of it, because recently I did do a massive deep dive into Epstein and into the files. And I just want to tell you, if you're listening to the YouTube version of this, don't watch it on YouTube because it's so overly censored because YouTube is such a pain, but go listen to it on the podcast because it's uncensored. But the episode came out on the 19th, so if you haven't heard it yet, go take a listen. But since that episode came out, there have been some big things happening surrounding, you know, Epstein adjacent and directly with the files, the properties he owned, a lot of things. So first, New Mexico very quietly but officially reopened a criminal investigation into Zorro Ranch. Now, if you're newer to this case and you have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about and you're like, what the hell is Zorro Ranch even? Let me just back up for a second. So Zorro Ranch was Epstein's massive secluded property right in between Santa Fe and Albuquerque, New Mexico. And we're talking thousands of acres of private land in the middle of the desert. Just like it had this main mansion, it had guest houses, it had a private airstrip, and it was just like vast amount of land, okay? Perfect for a high roller to use to operate behind closed doors. Now, it was one of the many properties that he owned, but this one has always sort of carried this very eerie, off-the-grid reputation because multiple survivors have alleged that there was a lot of assault and exchanges that happened there. There have been claims that things happening at Zorro Ranch were also very similar to what was happening on the island. And yet, despite all of the speculation and the talk about this, the ranch never received the same level of investigation and attention that the other properties did. But the leading theory is, and after looking at the files, we do know some shady stuff was going on, but the theory is that there are multiple bodies buried all over Zorro Ranch, and possibly other evidence that would be monumental for everybody who is attached to this case, whether in the files, in the emails, I mean, all of it. Some even say that there is a mysterious barn on the property where he allegedly kept an incinerator. So it was investigated briefly at the state level years ago, and then that probe was shut down in 2019 after federal prosecutors asked New Mexico officials to stand down. But fast forward to this week, and the New Mexico Attorney General confirmed that newly unsealed federal files related to Jeffrey contain information that warrants reopening the investigation. So let that just sink in for a moment. After all of this time, the state is saying, quote, Based on what we're seeing in these federal documents, we need to take another look. According to reports, investigators are now seeking access to full, unredacted federal files to determine whether crimes occurred at the ranch that were never fully addressed. Because if what's in those documents can be found on the ranch, that could be the jackpot that investigators have been waiting for all of these years. Lawmakers have also created a, quote, truth commission to review alleged abuse connected to the ranch, which tells you that this isn't just paperwork. They're saying that this deserves a real, thorough investigation. So that is not minor. I mean, that is the ranch, the remote desert compound that has hovered in the background of this case for years, and it's being pulled back into active criminal review. Now, while all of that was happening here in the U.S., simultaneously, the U.K. absolutely exploded. Because on February 19th, ex-Prince Andrew was arrested on suspicion of misconduct while holding a public office. Now, what I thought was very, I don't know if you would call it like divine intervention or karma, he was actually arrested on his 66th birthday, so suck it. But basically, investigators are looking at whether Andrew may have shared private government information with Jeffrey back when he was working as a UK trade representative. So in simple terms, the concern is that he might have passed along information that he wasn't supposed to share. It's not directly a charge or an arrest made with the horrific allegations that are out there, but it is one step closer to that, hopefully to get him to talk, hopefully to, like, you know, what do they say, like, shake the tree and see what falls out. Like,
I actually say that sometimes. You do? I hate myself when I do.
No, I know. But like, you know, because it's weird, like all of these things are happening kind of in tandem. There was also another arrest just a couple of days ago. Who was it? Who was it?
It was another British official, I thought.
Yes, yes. So, and like, so it seems like, I don't want to say the dominoes are coming, but like there is definitely movement now. And I think that's because so many people are making so much noise about this. So back to ex-Prince Andrew. Police had detained him for roughly 11 to 12 hours before releasing him under investigation, which that means that he hasn't officially been charged, but the case against him is very much still open and active. The day after his arrest, police went and they searched his former home and also the home where he's currently staying, and it's not known yet what evidence was found, if any, but we will definitely be keeping an eye on it to see what comes of those searches. But what I thought was interesting is King Charles, Andrew's older brother and, you know, the freaking King of England, right? He made a public statement saying, quote, "The law must take its course." And there was a little bit more meat to the statement, but basically it means the royal family isn't going to step in. They're not going to shield Andrew in any sort of way. And they said, you know, we want justice too. We want the truth. So do your thorough investigation, which I have to say, that is very refreshing to see that this family, the royal family at that, is making him take accountability for whatever comes out in this. And if these newly released documents are what triggered all of this in a matter of days, we might be watching something that is much bigger, and it's just like the slow little like ripple effect starting to happen now. So I'm going to follow this very closely. I also don't know if you saw, I saw it come across my feed, the picture.
Which one?
So first of all, after Andrew was released, there was a jump scare picture of him in the back seat with eyes super wide, like like hunching down. And someone printed it and put it in the Louvre.
Oh, I did hear that.
And it was up for, I think, like 15 minutes before somebody took it down. But I was like, that's iconic.
But also people are like, what's going on with the security at the Louvre?
I know.
Like, but I know I did see that. And in that case, I found it to be funny.
I know. So let's hope that there is justice coming for all of the scumbags who participated. Again, you can go listen. It's about an hour and a half. I brought on Dr. Leslie Dobson. She's a forensic psychologist. She's working with Congress right now on a lot of the unredacted versions of the files and the emails. So listen on the podcast, even if you're a video watcher, because it's so censored on YouTube. Or you can watch the uncensored version on Patreon. So if you do prefer the video, and that's patreon.com/AnnieElise.
I feel like the Epstein files are going to be something we hear about for the next years. It's just more and more coming out.
I know. It's hard to distill what's real versus what's like crazy wild conspiracy, but like, there's enough in there to where it's like, what is – it's just unnerving.
Well, outside of just like figuring out and discerning what's real from the news reports, now you've got this AI element. So yeah. For me, I've been hearing and reading a lot of the Ghislaine stuff and like...
Oh, yeah. Like her just, in Canada.
Is it her? Is it not? And so it's hard because you look at a photo and of course you can form opinions, but then it's like, well, is the photo even real? So there's totally. Just so much
It's hard to trust
out.
What you're yeah. seeing. I know. But I will say, when she was in that hearing, I watched the video where she took the fifth for everything and wouldn't answer. It did not look like her
it's,
at all.
Everybody is saying
her
it's
voice
not her.
Was different. Her nose was different. People were like, the chin's different. And I was like, let me just tell you, chin filler dissolves. And like, so that isn't a sell. The nose for
and
me
I
is what
the
sold
eyes.
It. The eyes, I think, could happen with it, but like, it does not even, it doesn't even sound like her, like, not tone, but like pitch. I don't know. And that's a crazy conspiracy to believe that when she was moved facilities to where is she now, Texas or whatever, that they swapped her out or something. Like, that's so wild to think about that that could even be real. But it could be. Like, it's so
I know.
Nuts.
And you're like, I know. I could go down a rabbit hole, too.
I know. Save it because okay. we are going to revisit. Okay. We are going to revisit. Okay. For all of you who've been hounding in the comments, part two, part three, part four, it's a coming.
It's coming.
It's a coming. That sounded okay. like Mario. It's a me. It's a me, Mario.
Okay, this next story is not your typical true crime, so I feel like we can talk a little shit.
Okay, what's it about?
It's not a murder.
Okay, thank God.
It's
okay.
not a disappearance.
Okay.
But it's wild.
Okay.
And the body cam footage.
Don't tell me. I know what it is.
Like, everyone collectively is like, what the hell am I watching? And when yeah. I was watching it, same thing.
Iowa.
Like, who are these right? morons? Yes.
This footage is sick. And weird, and like, what is going on?
No, I know. I was just glued to the body cam footage because yeah. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Okay, so picture this. It's 2 a.m. on November 15th, 2024 in Iowa City. Police and fire crews get called to a fire alarm going off at a fraternity house near the University of Iowa campus. Now, that's totally normal. It's a college town, middle of the night. Maybe they were, like, trying to cook, set off the fire alarm. Maybe someone pulled it as a joke. So officers walk in expecting smoke. But instead, they head down to the basement of the Alpha Delta Phi house and open the door to find 56 pledges standing in a dark room, some of them blindfolded, shirtless, and covered in all kinds of unknown liquids. It looked like a full house, wall-to-wall pledges packed into that basement. And the body cam footage of the firefighters and police officers walking into this house is just insane. So if you're listening to this on the podcast, it might be worth popping over to YouTube just to see this video.
I mean, it's probably some just
there. That's what I think. Can I get through?
Hey guys, what's the fox going on here? What is going on? Who's in charge?
Campus 127, I'll take a second here. Yeah, I'll definitely need 133 here.
This is the alarm here.
All right, who's in charge? Looks like we have quite a bit of hazing. So I'm going to ask again, who's in charge?
We can talk upstairs.
No, we're going to talk right here. Who's in charge?
A couple of us are. I mean, I don't know. I don't
have
to tell you.
Okay, well, we need to find someone who's in charge, because this is ridiculous. Hey, this stops here, guys. This is a police department. This stops here. Who's in charge?
They're upstairs.
How about we stop? We start cleaning this up. Everyone take their blindfolds off. Fucking A, man.
They ask, who's in charge? And the answer is kind of like, I'll talk to you upstairs, and then shifts to, I don't know. And then the video continues, and there's one guy in particular who tries really hard to block the doorway. He says he goes by Jose, but later it's learned that his real name is Joseph. And I don't know if he like thought he was doing anything, because officers obviously knew what was going on, and here's how it went.
Oh, it's nothing. You know, so what's going on in here? You don't know? You're just blocking the door so we can't see? How does nobody live here then? Just hanging out?
You tell me.
No, you tell me.
I don't know.
You go to University of Iowa?
I do.
You do? What's your major?
Business.
Business? What's your name?
Why?
So what's your name is?
Jose.
Jose? Jose, what's your last name?
Why?
Go on. Go talk to me.
Once I get that.
Huh?
I don't want to tell you that.
Okay. How old are you?
21. Right, what's an ID?
Yeah, you got an ID or anything approved?
I think it's fake.
Huh?
I think it's fake.
You think it's fake? You think it's fake or you know it's fake? There's two different... Two different things there. Campus 142, one by DL, number at Iowa, we're ready.
It's definitely not Jose.
I go by Jose.
349 Adam Paul, 5452. Do you have your real driver's license right
now? Grills against.
Grills against.
Please.
Does that room go anywhere else?
Laundry room.
That room, does that go anywhere else?
Or I just want to see if you had a return. My bad.
Clean record. Check it.
Copy, thank you. That's all I needed.
So, and where do you live?
Are you still over in Riverdale or are you living at the house?
I go to school here.
What?
That's my initial address.
I know. You live right. You still live in there?
And you travel in Iowa City.
Okay.
It's real.
Okay.
Go golf.
I used to.
Guess from around here.
Sure. I would probably be calling your house dad or whoever to get him here, since ultimately he's probably in charge, right? Unless someone else is in charge.
A lot of I don't have his number, so
yeah.
Which Rush should be a
friend.
Yeah. Do you guys know how the fire alarm goes set off? Is it just room?
It's manual. It goes off.
So it's this one, the hallway here. How it got set off, I'm not sure.
I don't think it was down here. I think it was upstairs.
I can tell you it was this one.
It was
Alan. Really? Yeah, it's definitely Alan.
How long are they supposed to stay? All night? You guys had to do this too, huh?
No. I don't know what this is.
I mean, it's not like you guys didn't know there was 15, 20 people down in your basement. Oh, Jesus. Not that dumb.
It's fine.
Thank you.
don't know. First time I've encountered
first
it.
First time.
And I'm getting a little frustrated that no one's telling me who's in charge of what's going on right here.
I can help you out, but I'm not in charge.
We literally,
I'd like to help you, but I'm not in charge.
Yeah, I mean, we asked you to call your house dad. And you said,
I don't have his number.
He's your house dad. How do you not have his number?
I don't see the issue.
Okay, then what are you doing here?
He's a living. He lives upstairs.
Oh, so you do live here?
No, I don't live here.
One officer literally says on camera, you got to see it from my perspective. What the fuck did I just walk into? And that honestly felt like a valid reaction when you're looking at all of this. Because from the outside, it looks like some sort of weird initiation ritual straight out of a movie. 56 guys, shirtless, blindfolded, nobody's talking, random condiments and liquids everywhere, and it's almost 2 a.m. Now, to be clear, officers asked if anyone was hurt or being held against their will, and according to body cam footage, all these pledges say no. So this wasn't some sort of criminal hostage situation, and no one was reporting any injuries. But the sheer shock factor of it all is what made this whole thing blow up. And remember Joseph, the guy who's trying to get in the way of the officers and trying to block them from seeing anything? He was actually arrested that night for interfering with the officers. And it was also learned, get this, that he didn't even live at the fraternity and he wasn't even a student at the university. So that charge was later dropped, but well known in the media now. The university investigated the incident through its student accountability office. And as of February 25th, 2025, the fraternity chapter was suspended, with the suspension lasting at least until July 1st of 2029. But what really ignited everything was that footage didn't go viral right away. The incident happened in 2024, the suspension happened in 2025, but when the body cam video was released in 2026, it racked up millions of views and went viral almost immediately. People online were pretty split on how they felt about it though. People were like, it's college, calm down. While others were saying, this is exactly why hazing gets out of control. But most people were just stunned by how weird the whole thing was. People usually expect frat hazing as one of two things. Either something kind of weird like this, like people throwing ketchup or beer or whatever else at each other, or something much more serious, like something straight out of a horror movie. So thankfully, in this case, that wasn't the situation. This is more of one of those college is wild and sometimes dumb stories, but amplified by the fact that this body cam footage exists and that we can all actually see into what was going on. And usually that stuff stays behind closed doors. So I think that was what was truly shocking, is it was actually exposed. And I don't know, something about 56 blindfolded pledges covered in ketchup at 2 a.m. just feels like something no one expected to see this year. Although I will say, and I'm curious to know your thoughts, I did date someone in a fraternity.
I begged him
to go into a fraternity because I was still in high school and I'm like, hey, we'll have cool parties to go to. And when he was pledging, I remember he's like, this is the big formal where I get like, I don't remember what's called, initiated in.
Didn't they have to like paddle him?
Well, oh my God, I forgot about that. They literally built paddles to then be paddled by them.
With holes in them for airflow, which that's crazy.
Yeah, but this formal at the very end, everyone's like, yay, cheering. I'm in a dress. I have an updo, my makeup done. They spray beer out of a cat on all of us. And I'm like,
well, think about
literally,
it.
Literally, now I'm just sticky. I smell like, what is this?
Well, think about it. In college, you're what, 20, 21, like at the high, I guess, but low pledges, probably 18 or 19. So you probably think it's funny, but like, no. I'm glad that there wasn't any serious hazing, because we often hear way too many cases where it's like hazing gone wrong. Somebody either gets extremely injured or killed.
But or like also, alcohol poisoning.
Yeah. And like, and I do understand the argument where it's like, this seems really dumb and minuscule and it's ketchup like squirting on people. But I could see the argument of that's how it escalates, because what if like, say if you're the pledge and I'm the frat guy, I don't know what his position would be called, and I'm like squirting you with ketchup and you're like laughing and you're, it's, and like they're trying to feel like they're the authority and that they're like, you know, hazing you. And so you're laughing. I'm like, you need to take it more seriously. And then I do something harder, or like, so I see where the escalation certainly could happen. But also, if I walked into a room at 2 a.m. as a cop and there were 56 guys shirtless, covered in ketchup and beer and like relish, I'd be like, why am I here?
Losers.
Like, get, you are so gross. And like, I'm going to put this everywhere and nobody will ever date you.
Well, and for me, it was like a hot dog. Infuriating because they're like, who's in charge here? And it's the typical, you get caught deer in headlights. Yeah. It's like no one's saying a word. I just can't imagine a situation. And I don't know, is there like hazing in the sororities? Because I just don't see women being like chained.
I think
and
girls
then
are sometimes
ketchup.
Meaner than the guys.
That's awful.
I don't know. I was obviously never in a sorority.
Oh, yeah. There was that thing a couple years ago with like Alabama, right?
Oh, yeah. And, like, there's like a whole, and like, I'm glad kind of actually that they shut it down until 2029, the chapter, because it's kind of like, don't do, like, there are hazing rules in place for a reason, even though this is, again, so minor and, like, so hot doggy that it's stupid.
And there's plenty of things you can do. I remember in my ex-boyfriend, it's so weird to say ex-boyfriend, it was so long ago.
Yeah, but, okay, really living in the past, no, Ryan.
They'd be like, go pick up my girlfriend to take her to the party or sing this song to embarrass yourself. Yeah. It's like, that's innocent fun.
What
but
is
you're
it?
You're going to chain someone up.
Do you remember Old School? The movie?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Such a classic where they had to stand on the ledge and didn't they tie like a cinder block to their wieners? And like he's all, what was like the, if you could do, no, that's dodgeball. If you could dodge a wrench, you could dodge a ball. What was the thing they said? And then that one guy fall.
Yeah. I don't remember, but it's
old
like
such a good movie.
Classic fun, I guess.
Well, not that.
No,
but, yeah.
But like is okay. But this stuff just seems like it's taken it to a different level.
Which I mean, I'm glad it's not aggressive hazing and you're just squirting a bottle of ketchup.
They're blindfolded and
blindfolded, you're right. But like, yeah, and like imagine being blindfolded and like you hear the squeeze and it's just all, psh, it splashes on your chest.
And also like who came up with that? Like isn't there something, I don't know. I just again it just feels so stupid.
It's so stupid. And like just don't haze at all. Even if you feel like it's innocent hazing, don't haze. Like you're a loser. It's very Stephen DeMarco coded.
Oh, God.
Tell me lies. Don't get me started. He would not be only using ketchup. Okay, so really quickly.
Wow.
I know. That's the only college reference I have right now. Okay, so really quickly, let's talk about the Nancy Guthrie updates. So I actually am going to put out an extra episode tomorrow on this feed with all of the updates that have come out over the last couple of weeks, because I know it has been a lot to keep straight between different gloves being found, a backpack now, the person being seen on footage prior to the abduction, and all of these things. And as of now, too, just a couple of days ago, Savannah has come out again. She posted another video where her family is now offering up to $1 million for any tips that lead to the recovery of their mother. That she also said that they're donating $500,000 to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, which I thought was really nice. But what stood out to me in that video, and I don't know if you've watched it yet or if you caught it, it was the first time I've heard her say recovery, not rescue. And so I think that they have come to the conclusion that she's probably passed on. And they just, of course, and that's something that I had thought actually, quite honestly, pretty early on when they said we want to celebrate with her, that it was meaning more of a celebrate her life and having her remains there to be able to do that, because you don't have that sense of like peace without knowing where their remains are. So hopefully it does lead to some news, but it's like, yeah, between all of the TMZ notes and
it's just so much. It's so much for everyone just watching it. But could you imagine being the family?
No.
And then every single day.
It's sad, too, because now I've seen a lot of other creators who honestly I kind of respected in the space. And like now I don't as much because they're poking fun of it and calling it like referencing it as like, I'm not even going to say the exact case names and stuff, but like making it almost like a joke. So to your point, it's like if Savannah is seeing all of this going on social media, where I get it, a lot of people are frustrated. It's been 4 weeks. Like where
but
the hell is
where
Nancy?
Does the public have the right to be frustrated to
exactly.
the point where they're getting on their story saying, I can't believe it's day 23. Like give me some different, like, I don't know. I just feel like that's day 23 that probably feels like a year to
it's
this
just
poor
very
family
insensitive.
And how she says like every second we are and it's like that is how their time is probably passing so slowly just waiting for news on their mom. It's
I know.
So sad.
I know. So I'm going to put out an episode tomorrow where it's breaking down everything, and you can get that right here on the feed where we talk about, you know, there's been conversation about could this have some sort of like relation to Mexico. Even at one point, Brian Enten went into Mexico and was reporting from there.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so there's a lot, but it's hard to discern what's real, what's not. Like, there's just so much information flooding because everybody's trying to figure out what's going on. So that'll come tomorrow. Also, the number one case that all of you have been requesting while I was on tour and for the last like 10 months has been that I relook at the Delphi case. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with the Delphi murders, it was Abby Williams and Libby German. They were two best friends who were horrifically and brutally murdered while they were out on a walk one day, out, you know, together on the bridge. And there are a lot of weird elements to this case. There are allegations of cult sacrifices. There are allegations of child assault, all sorts of things. Richard Allen was tried and found guilty of their murders. However, there is a big piece of the public and the true crime community that believe that Richard Allen is innocent. So my point is, over the last 10 months, several requests have come in that I re-examine this case, look into it, because I reported on it initially before it even went to trial, and saying like, hey, look at both sides of it. So this week, on Tuesday, an episode came out on 10 to Life. You can listen to the uncensored version on 10 to Life, the podcast, free, wherever you get your podcasts, or you can watch it on YouTube, where we do exactly that. I look and say, here's why people think he is guilty. Here's why people think he's innocent. Here's all of the information. Here's what happened. Let me know what you think. And I have to say, the comments that I have seen so far on that episode, a lot of people are leaning toward him being innocent, which
I felt like
surprising.
On tour, that was a big response.
It is,
too.
Because I was under the impression they got the guy, he went to trial, all of this. But even when I started re-researching everything and looking at all these things that people brought up, I was like, okay, I can kind of see where you're going with this. And so, yeah, I tried to deliver it in the most neutral way possible, but I am curious to know your thoughts on the case and if you think they got the right guy, if you don't. So that episode is live right now. You can go and take a listen. So that's what we've got for headline highlights today.
That was a lot.
It was a lot. Should I also say vote in the comments on if I should put my nails back on? Just kidding. Since we talked for eight minutes about it. I know. Nobody gives a fuck. They're like, you shut the fuck up.
I actually thought we might come to like a big hair change.
Don't get me started. I'm trying. It's impossible because, well, it's not impossible. I'm impossible. I just can't decide. I think I've decided, but I haven't decided who I'm going to go to do it.
When are you doing it?
I don't know. I have a consultation Saturday.
I'm getting mine done Saturday.
You are?
Can we have new hair next
week? Well, I'm canceling it. Because the consultation's in LA, and like I can't be bothered to drive to LA for a consultation and then back for an appointment. And I was like, can we just do it same day, like a consult and then do a hair? They're like, no, we need to do this. I'm like,
that's annoying.
It's so annoying. So I think I'm going to cancel. And I don't know. I need to cut it. It's getting at that weird length where it's doing a flip. It literally just walked into my office yesterday and she's all, I love what you're doing with your hair. It's very Mary-Kate and Ashley. And I'm like,
Ashley?
Because it had like a flip and I'm all, that wasn't intentional.
Hope that doesn't ever come back where it's like the mushroom and then the flip underneath.
That's literally what my hair looks like right now.
I love that for you.
Between that and my chubby hands, like I'm signing off. Okay. So until the next one, be nice. Don't kill people. Just get a divorce. Don't go to any islands that you're invited to.
Don't join a frat.
Don't join a frat. And girls, date up. Don't date someone in a frat because I just feel like it's embarrassing sometimes. I don't know.
Thanks. She always roasts me in some way.
Okay, that was like 80 years ago. Just kidding. All right, guys. Until the next one, stay safe. Bye.
Bye.